purpose of my addressing you this evening is not to reminisce, but to give us all a chance to carry on the legacy of my Rebbe, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. Let me tell you, when I first met my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik, I had left Haredas after coming from the Holocaust, and when I lived in Williamsburg, and I went to high school here, and I heard that Rabbi Yoshe Bell was going to be giving in a week shiurim on a Yalei Tshuva in Bernard Hover Graduate School. And like an idiot, I thought, I don't have to be a graduate student, I don't have to be registered, I'll just go and listen. And I did. And Rosh Hashanah looking around, and he sees this little kid, that's me. I'm not a graduate student. He said, Atasha Yachbo? Like an idiot, I said, Ken? Yes, the Harashut, the Yachbo? Ken? He said, we not on the Harashut. I had the chutzpah to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'chvodo V'atzmo. Kol mi sherotze l'lmod Torah, yavo v'yilmod. I learned a lesson from Rav Soloveitchik. Instead of being angry at the chutzpah that I had, he broke out in a smile. He said, "In Ken, if Shasha Tasha Yachbo, Yotame Kulam, Zidare Achare Sof HaSheyur." We spoke after the shiur. He asked me where I'm coming from. So I said, "I'm a Holocaust survivor." "Holocaust survivor from where?" I said, "Germany." "Germany? Which city?" I said, "Fulda." He said, "That's the only city in all of Germany. The only city that never had a Reformed temple. Did you know that?" I said, "Sure. It's the only city that had Kaina Yisrael, who functioned as the Rav and the Maladasa. Did you know that?" I said, "Sure. I davened in the Beis Medrash or the Maram Shiv, the Forash of the Yerushalma and Babli. And in addition to that, I'm named after the Maror Fulda, who's the Forash on the Yerushalmi, and then I happened from him." He said, "Really? And what can you say about your mother?" Kibbutzing me. I said, "It so happens that she was a direct descendant of the Bach, who was born in Krakow." So he said, "Well, you seem to come from Germany, but you're not a Jäger." Okay. So we spoke. He was very, very friendly to me. When I first came to a shiur, which was a few years later, was the last year they were giving shiurim in Yiddish. We come in, and we all get up, almost 60 talmidim. And he speaks in Yiddish. He says, "I know why you're getting up," he said, "it all in Yiddish. But let me tell you, you're doing the right thing. When a rabbi comes, you should get up and not sit down till he sits down," etc., 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 etc. But there's another halacha. "Ram shemachal ha'koyde koyde machul. I hereby announce that I'm mechal in my covet, and I don't want you getting up for me again. Because it's not good for my midos. Do I know more than you? Yeah. But it only means that more achrayus is in you." That was on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we felt we couldn't not get up when the God Lador comes in. So we decided, we spoke among ourselves, that we'll get up just a little bit. So when I've seen that, he says, I think you didn't understand what I said because I spoke in Yiddish. So he repeated the whole thing in English. That was that. Now let me tell you. Because in the original conversation we had when I first met him, he asked me whether I'd met any other Gedolei Yisrael. And I said, yeah. As a matter of fact, Adam Rocha from one of the chief Gedolei. Who? I said, I'm the Chofetz Chaim. You know the best of the Chofetz Chaim? I think he nearly fainted. I said, yes. A year before the Patira. Really? He says, when you come to my Shia, I want you to become my Meshomas. I said, Rebbe, I don't have a car. She has Meshomas as a car. I'd rather be with you without a car. We'll take a bus. go to my mother. His mother lived on 187 between Amsterdam and Northern Terrace. Okay? So that's the situation. Now let me tell you. I want to reminisce with you. When I picked him up the next week, Tuesday at 125th Street in Harlem, he said, I might as well tell you that you shouldn't be surprised. What's that? I'm not going to tell anybody not to get up for me. I said, but Rebbe, you made a whole speech last week, twice, in Yiddish and then in English. He said, let me tell you, some of my chaver told me, instead of a nipus, I come across like a balgaiva, that I'm the only one who says, don't get up. Not only that, it seems that I'm reflecting negatively on all my colleagues, and that's no good. So I said, Rebbe, I've got something interesting to tell you. For you, that's correct. But for me, I'm such a cotton, it's not a problem. If I ever get to be a magachia here, way before that, then I can say, don't get up for me. No one will accuse me of being a bad guy, but they'll think I don't deserve it, period. And etc. And they don't think I'm referring negatively. That's, now let me tell you, it's an amazing thing. I want to share with you some things that we can learn from him. Purim that year was the Thursday night, so he wasn't here. For the Chagigah, since I was with the Rav all the time, I wrote the Purim spiel. In the Purim spiel, I mentioned the Rebbetzin. When the Rav got off the train on 125th Street, he said to me, I thought it was anger in his voice. He looked at me. He said, what is the problem with you? What do you mean by the problem? How could you dare make fun of the Rebbetzin? On Purim we make fun of a Rebbe. Yes. Make fun of a Rebbetzin? That's not sneezing at all. I said, Rebbe, I didn't make fun of the Rebbetzin. I had an aide Neman. He was at the Chagigah. He spent the weekend in Boston. And he told me that the whole place burst out laughing when you mentioned the Rebbetzin. I said, Rebbe, can I have your rishus? You know my parents live just a few blocks away on 185th and I'm and Broad and Wadgood. They have the script that I wrote for the Purim spiel. Can I get home and bring it and show it to you? He said, absolutely. So I got up and then came back a few minutes later with the script. He was reading it. When he got to the line with the Rebbetzin, he burst out laughing. He didn't make fun at all. What happened is, some of you may not know this. I don't want to mention the name. We had a Jewish professor who got tenure in philosophy, but he wasn't from. And he would never lose an opportunity to make fun of the Jews. And so I had an exchange of words in which he attacked Rav Soloveitchik for something he wrote about Jewish philosophy. And I put a line into the Rav's mouth. Look, Lisman, you should know one thing. When it comes to Jewish philosophy, you can even speak to my wife, Tanya, and she'll tell you that in philosophy, I'm the boss. You make good fun. Now listen to this. You'll never forget this. Then he turns white in his face. He turns to me. Mayor, are you making me for the false accusation? I said, yes. Are you making me Mimchilo Gemura? I said, surely. Once more, are you making me Mimchilo Gemura Beleib Shalem? That was the hope. He didn't want even a shemitz of something which wasn't right. This is not the Rav that we usually speak about, but that was the real Rav. Unbelievable. Now, I want to tell you, when we spoke about the city where I came from, he said to me, do you know about these Gedolim? I said, sure. I dabbled in the Beis Medrash or the Maram Shiv. And I said, really? He said, let me ask you a question. Didn't you find it strange? I said, no, because we all were in one boat together. We had to do this. Let me ask you a question. You know what is the beginning and the end of everything in our Emuna and Amasero? No. He says, Yiras Hashem. Reishis Chochma, Yiras Hashem. Seif Tova HaKoyin Lishmo, is Hashem Yiro. It's the beginning and the end. But the beginning and the end is no good unless there's something before them. You know what that is? I said, no. He said, you know what it is? La'olam yehe Adam. First you have to be a mensch. If you're not a mensch, then your yira shemayim is nisht elah. Really? That's correct. And that's why Genesis says, Sevta bakal nishma shem yivon. Ki ze kol Adam. That's what it is. You have to be a mensch before anything else. Now, I want you to know what was special about your city. I said, yes, it was the only city in Germany. The only city, I repeat, the only city that never had a Reformed temple. All the other cities that were the center of the Torah community, the city where Rashi lived, the city where Rabbeinu Tam lived, the city where Rabbeinu Dari lived, the city where the Chasam Sofer lived, were devastated by Reform. Devastated. In fact, Shlomo Zalman Hirsch famously, when he went to Frankfurt to rebuild it, was able to start with only 11 Shomrei Shabbos left. How come that Fulda never had a Reformed temple? And I said, Rebbe, in my humble opinion, it's because in the city of Fulda, two things were known. Number one, you never looked down upon other people, so you didn't have to pay ever reform. And number two, you have to do everything that even the people who are not like us will become like us. Means not only I should love the others like myself, but if they're not like us, we have to love them even more, because if we don't love them more, then you can't be makar of them. That was the secret of all. He said, do you have a raya? I said, sure. There was a situation. Unbelievable. There was a big department store one block away from the shul that was owned by a goy. So naturally it was open on Monday through Saturday. He wanted to retire. He couldn't find anyone to pay the money that he wanted. Finally, one person offered him the money. Who was that? A Jew from Frankfurt who was not religious. When he came to take over the store, a block away from shul, he kept it open on Shabbos. The Beis Din of the community was horrified, though he also came in Kameinu Anu. What's going on? They had a meeting with this Jew, and he told us the story after before Enkelukenu on Shabbos. That Jew was not a chutzpahnik, because right when he said, or he told him, it shouldn't be done, he says, okay, you know what? I have to be in my store on Saturday. I need the money. But you know what I'll do? I'll put up a sign that out of respect for the Jewish Sabbath, on Friday night and Saturday, all customers should only enter through the side door, not the main door. So we told him, that doesn't make any difference. You're still the Chal Shabbos. So he said, you can't do this. He said, look. He proved that he was not Namoritz. It says in the Chumash, Uvachato b'chayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a choice. We shall choose the right way and be from. If God gave me the choice, how can you take it away? God gave me b'chiro chavshis. My b'chiro is not to be from. We couldn't move him. The Rav, his name was Yehuda Khan. Unfortunately, he perished in the Holocaust in Buchenwald, the same concentration camp that my father was taken. They had a meeting of the Beis Din. Let me tell you who the Beis Din was. The Mordasa was Yusuf Khan, I should mention. The second one was a Baruch Kunstad, a Goyen Oilom, who survived and founded Yeshivat Kol Torah in Yerushalayim Yakodesh. The third member of the Beis Din, the Dayan, was Kalman Kahana, who survived and became the Vov in Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim. They came together, and he told us we had a meeting for almost 3 hours back and forth. How do we handle this? We couldn't come up with anything. We finally came up with the following idea, and that's why I'm getting up here before Enkelukenu. He's not a chutzpahnik, he's not a complete amoritz, but nothing else is going to help. I want you to do is the following. I was a youngster at the time. I wasn't bar mitzvah yet. We want every man, woman, and child in this huge kehillah, almost 1,000 members, not to go home and make kiddush and eat breakfast on Shabbos morning after davening. We want everyone, literally everyone, to go into that department store, not to give them whistle, not to bawl them out, but to say, we heard that you feel you can't be in shul on Shabbos, so we can't wish you good Shabbos because you're not in shul. You're still part of Klal Yisrael. We're not going to rule you out. So every Shabbos, we're going to come here and wish you good Shabbos in your store. Everybody went. Everybody. Not only 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. The fifth week, who gets up before Ikeru Kenu? Our Rav, Avyoda Kanzatal. He says, I've got a good surah for you. Today, we can all go home and make Kiddush immediately and have breakfast right after davening. You want to know why? I don't have to tell you. I got something better than me to tell you. He left the pulpit. Who went on the pulpit? That yid, who was Mechal Shabbos. And crying with tears, which he meant. He says, if you were such a mention, it's unbelievable. My wife and I decided that as of today, we're going to be Shemre Shabbos Kiyum Chosam. That was the kind of city that it was. And that's what we can learn. And my Rebbe, Rabbi Yoshe Beer, told me, that story you should tell over and over and over again. Because the basic point is, when we have a Jew who's not yet from, don't say not from, not yet from, you have to love him even more, because without that, you have no chance to bring him karav. And this is how the Rav himself, I don't want to speak over time. No. Let me just tell you, my years of learning with Rabbi Yoshe Beer were incredible. But what I learned most of all is the Olam Yehi Odom. He was a mensch before Yehi Shammai. And that's what all Talmidim have to be. Thank you for listening. To teach me Ascholas Gemara. And then he took me to the minyan. One day the Rav announced that the Chafetz Chaim is on his way to a different city and had to come to our city to change trains. And he's going to be in the railroad station from 4:30 to 5:30. And he wants every man to go. And you show him to the Gadol HaDor. My father figured, I can't teach my son anyway. Let's go drinking. So you know what? I'll take him with me. So later on I can tell him, you're in the presence of the Gadol HaDor. And if I was trying to get off the train, I was the only little boy there. She said, go to Mexico. Nobody knew. So somebody told him, fake the meeting in Dreisenberg. Ask the Jew with a big beard, my father with a big beard, so they shaped it off and look him out. Maybe he knows. Went over to him. My father says, my son, what's he doing here? So we told him, we have a seder, but I couldn't keep it. They went back and told the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim answered, "Ey, Bazei, come to my bracha, bring to my hair." So they brought me over. He put one hand on top of me, started the bracha, Birkas Kohanim. Then he said, "Yeah, I couldn't go to you yet." And somebody shouted out, "That's your only sword of bris." So he answered, "But that's a cotton bris bar mitzvah." And then he said, "You hot son, should tatzliach tatzlocha rabba b'chola shatifna. Achein you hot son, amen." That was the bracha I got. Baruch Hashem.
You already passed the bracha on to us? Can you pass the bracha on to us?
Absolutely. I certainly intend to transmit to all of you the same bracha. Yiratzen shetatzlichu atzlocha rabba b'chol ha'shatiku v'chein v'hi atzai.
Amen.
5:45 to teach me Haskolah Gemara. And then he took me to the minyan. One day the Rav announced that the Chofetz Chaim is on his way to a different city and had to come to our city to change trains. And he's going to be in the railroad station from 4:30 to 5:30. And we want every man to go and give shalom to the Kol Hador. My father figured, I can't teach my son anyway. Have to go to the So, you know what? I'll take him with me. So later on I can tell him he was in the presence of the God of Lador. And the Chofetz Chaim got off the train, I was the only little boy there. So he said, "Where does Moshe go?" Nobody knew. So somebody told him, "Fake the meat mit dem großen Bord." Asked the Jew with the big beard, my father the big beard, so they shaved it off and took him out. Maybe he knows. Went over to him. My father says, "My son, what's he doing here?" So we told him, "We have a Seder, but I couldn't keep it." They went back and told us to Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim answered, "Hey, Bazei, come to my bracha, bring to my hair." So they brought me over. He put one hand on top of me, started the bracha, Birkas Kohanim. Then he said, "There are cotton golden here," and somebody shouted out, "That you only say the bris." So he answered, "My black are cotton bris bar mitzvah." And then he said, "You hot son, should tafliach batzlocha rabba b'chol ha'shatifna. Achein you hot son, amen." That was the bracha I got.
Can everybody pass the bracha on to us? Can everybody pass the bracha on to us?
Absolutely. I certainly intend to transmit to all of you the same bracha. Yiratzen shetatzlichu atzlocha rabba b'chol ha'shatifnu v'chein v'hi atzai.
Amen.